Gentlemen, welcome back to the Being Husband Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan West, bringing you guys another episode here, telling you all like I always do, gents. Thank you for being a part of the work that we're doing. Guys, if you've been with us for any length of time, then you know what we're all about here. We're here to help you as a man live on mission in your marriage, and today is no different. We're going to be talking about how to build a powerhouse hold, a powerhouse hold. And this is a way that I could kind of sneak in the conversation again on the Great Reset. You guys are saying, Jonathan, what's the Great Reset? You know, those of you that haven't been here, welcome. You're like, what's the Great Reset? It sounds eerie. And for those of you that have been here, you're like, oh, God, here he goes again. I don't want to have this conversation, Jonathan. I don't want to talk about this again. It scared me last time. Freaked me out. I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I totally get it. But we need to have this conversation. We do. And I need to level with you. Because the world is changing. Things are different. Things are happening. Things are moving in a specific direction. And I care. I care about you. I care about the direction of your family. I care about your spiritual well-being in the midst of these things. Because the reality is, no one else is going to have this conversation with you. Everyone else is just hoping to get back to normal. Everyone else is just hoping that things will be what they were before COVID, before all the flux that went on in 2020. And you and me need to be putting our hope in God. And so first, I want to say, what exactly is the Great Reset and why am I talking about it again? Well, first of all, the reason why I'm talking about it again, I had a buddy of mine. Let me backtrack further. So when I first talked about the Great Reset, and if you haven't listened to it, it's an episode entitled Conquering the Great Reset. Conquering the Great Reset. And I brought this up back then because I got wind of information. Not tea leaves, not conspiracy theory stuff, not, you know, trying to predict the end times or any of that. I simply went to, a website. And I'd heard a lot of rumblings about this conversation on the Great Reset. And I went to the people that wrote about it. There's a guy named Klaus Schwab. He and a couple other wealthy business owners influential people, I should say, not influencers. There's nobody working in social media that goes to this thing called the World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum is where global political and business leaders meet up. So they can figure out how they're going to move the needle forward, change the world in a positive direction to help slow down the effects of climate change and on and on and on is what they say, right? And they have these meetings every year, apparently. And long story short, this was a meeting that they've been having and that Klaus Schwab ended up writing several books on. So Klaus Schwab is kind of the head honcho of the situation. He's got a book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, where he gets into a lot of these things in terms of his predictions, which are just things that he plans on doing with the wealthy, but that's neither here nor there. And then he's got another book that came out during COVID-19, and he calls it COVID-19, The Great Reset. Now, here's the thing. There's two ways you can think about this. Either this is an opportunity that he sees to capitalize on COVID-19. Because what he talks about in this book is saying, you know, because of COVID-19, we now have to think about our global impact, our carbon impact on the world. This is what we have to consider. And when we shut down everything, when we kept you in your homes and we sent you a check, you see, we emitted less greenhouse gases. We emitted less carbon. And so this is the direction that we need to move forward. And he's got a step-by-step analysis on how he thinks that companies and political officials need to make this happen, need to create this world, because we have to save the planet. And so that's kind of the direction that they go with a lot of this book. So it's very much a political and business political and business book centered around changing ecology, changing our carbon footprint is the way that it's sold. So last time I had this conversation, I didn't make any predictions, but I simply read their own predictions, right? They've got a list, and I'll leave a link in the show notes today, but they've got a list of 8 predictions that are going to happen. Again, this is the World Economic Forum. saying eight predictions that we believe are going to happen by 2030. Things that are going to change. Okay? So, one of those things that I talked about, and that was all context. Now I'm getting into the reason why I'm bringing this back up. I had mentioned that way back, let's see, the last time, I'm looking at the notes. I think I had that episode, it had to have been back in the summertime, man, like before, maybe in the fall, but it was 2020 and it was mid-year, I do believe. And I brought that up back then because I wanted to prepare my buddies back then. And I had the conversation with them because one of the predictions is we're going to be eating less meat because meat emits, cows. I mean, they emit greenhouse gases. And so we need to be eating less meat and we need to be eating more vegetables and yada, 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 all that stuff. And I brought that up and I said, guys, this is what they're planning to do. Like, make sure you get to know a local farmer so that you can secure meat for your family. And there was a couple guys in the audience that were like, yo, man, that's super, you know, that's weird. I don't think that's going to happen, da, 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 da. Well, you fast forward to 2021, and what is it? I think in March, Joe Biden essentially sat down in his State of the Union address and said, we need to reduce our meat consumption by 90%. We need to reduce our meat consumption down to where every American is only eating one burger per month. One pound, I guess probably half a pound, of ground beef per month. This is something that Joe Biden has said. Now, look, I'm not here to pick political sides. I think Joe Biden is a creep. Many of you that know me know that. You know where I stand politically. That's not my guy, okay? It's just not. That being said, the overall thing that I'm trying to get you to understand is not necessarily about the, you know, Democrat or Republican. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that, again, politicians and businesses are moving in tandem to create a world in which they control the means of production and they control the means of our consumption as a byproduct of that. What do I mean when I say that? If somebody owns what gets produced, they own what gets consumed. Follow me? If they own what gets produced, they own what gets consumed. And so what we have to do, if we're going to be men that are eating meat or men that are freedmen, frankly, we have to find a way to produce our own things in order that we can control our own consumption of those things. So I said that the last time I talked about this, when it's called Conquering the Great Reset. You can go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. I thought it was great anyway. maybe you don't, but it's called Conquering the Great Reset. And I brought that up and my buddy thought I was tripping. Fast forward to now, Joe Biden's talking about it. He texts me. He's like, yo, did you hear what he said? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, I heard what he said. He said, Jonathan, I thought you were, exaggerating on that. I didn't realize this was a real thing. I said, yeah. Yeah, man, it's a real thing. And I think it's really disruptive. Like, I think that a lot of us don't get that this is really happening because it sounds like it's something off of a movie. It sounds like it's something off James Bond, right? And so what I want to do today is I want to put our hope and focus our attention back where it needs to be. It's not on things going back to normal, gentlemen. Our hope is not in normal. Our hope is in God, bro. And let me be honest. Let me get real honest with you. Some of us listening to this podcast, myself included, we have put our hope in our country being what it was before all of this took place. I just can't wait. How many times have you heard that? I just can't wait for things to go back to normal. Right? Whether you got the shot or didn't get the shot, right? The guys got the shot. I'm going to get this vaccine so I can go back to normal. Guys that didn't get the vaccine, I want my people to stop wearing masks so we can start going back to what? Normal. Putting our hope in normal, which gives the keys to man and not to God where it belongs. Our hope is in God, gentlemen. It's in God. And so I want to give you guys the verse of the day that's going to set the tone for where I'd like to go. coming out of Psalms. It's Psalm 127. It's one of my favorites. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. And so that's really where I want us to set our flag in the midst of this. Because what I'm going to be talking with you guys about is building a power household. But understand that unless the Lord builds the house, unless your hope is in God and not in your preps, you will succumb to the fear. Amen? Unless you are grounded in the reality that it is God that protects, it is God that saves, it is God that spares, it is God that helps you live and move and have your being. Unless you understand that deep in your bones, you're not going to make what's going on. I'm going to just put it out there. You're going to fold, bro. You're going to fold. You're going to fold because things are changing. I don't know how deep, I don't know how quick, I can't tell you when exactly. But just as quick as we experienced the craziness with the gas, it's probably as quick as these things are going to move. And I'm not telling you that to scare you, I'm telling you that to be real with you. So the first thing, number one thing that we have to do to build a power household, number one is construct a culture of prayer and Bible reading in your house. Now you say, Jonathan, man, I thought we was going to talk about getting the ammo. I thought we was going to talk about, you know, building the garden. Listen, you know me. Come on now. Those of you been listening to the show, you know who I am. I'm outside. I'm building gardens. You know what I'm saying? I'm shooting. I'm hunting. I'm doing those things. You guys know what I'm about, right? But numero uno. What is going to act as a bulwark against any kind of suffering, any kind of hardship that comes our way? I apologize about that sound. That was my dog. It's barking. But we have to be grounded in that reality that it is God that sustains us. It's God that keeps us going. Unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor in vain. And so I encourage you all, again, to construct a culture of prayer and Bible reading. And it's simple, man. It's really basic. Wake up in the morning. Read a passage of scripture, either by yourself or with family. Pray about it. Same thing in the evening. Read a passage of scripture, pray about it, talk about it, and call it. It doesn't need to be 3 hours of prayer and Bible reading. Some of you don't have that, right? Some of you are not at that place where you could do that. But it's as simple as going through, reading even just that verse, that Psalm 127. I encourage you to read that. Here's homework. Read Psalm 127 with your wife and with kids, if you've got kids. Talk about it amongst yourselves and then pray that the Lord would give you the wisdom to understand and to apply. Simple. You don't need to preach. Doesn't need to be a sermon. Doesn't need to be a deep dive study. It just needs to be a regular, habitual thing that everyone in the house understands that we rely on God here. We trust in God here to give us our clarity, to give us the wisdom that we need, to give us the energy that we need, to give us the faith that we need to deal with hard times, deal with challenging times, times that are not normal for us. Second thing I would say to build a power household is establish a sound family diet. You guys are saying, Jonathan, I like to eat fried chicken and cold beer. Listen, I like cold beer as much as the next guy. I like fried chicken as much as the next guy. But that being said, you may not be able to just pop in and get fried chicken here in a little while. You may not be able to just pop in and get what you want. You're going to need to create a sound family diet. And the best way that I've found to do that is to eat foods that aren't super processed, right? To eat foods that come directly from an animal, right? So get to know a local farmer to secure your meat and just cook it, grill it. And if you got to fry it yourself, that's fine. Try growing some food for yourself. Get to know neighbors that grow their own food and get to know farmers that grow their own food and establish a sound family diet that way. The reality is a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to go vegan if they just reduce the meat. You can do that. That's fine. But I've had a few conversations and I'm a health guy and I've learned a few things along the road and human beings, we're not made just to eat veggies. We're not made just to eat veggies. We've survived as long as we've survived on this planet because of meat. Because of meat. Okay, so and I'm going to have somebody on the podcast very soon that is going to get into that. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to have somebody on the podcast very soon that is going to talk to us about the importance of meat. And he's an MD. So stay tuned for that. But establishing a sound family diet, I would say, includes I'd say protein heavy and carbohydrate low, right? So eating a lot of meat, eating a lot of leafy greens, keeping your grains and stuff at a minimum. Rice and potato, right? That's keeping it simple. It's good for your metabolism. And again, I'm not an expert in this, so I'm going to bring an MD on here to kind of get into more of that. But it's now establishing a sound family diet, connecting with local farmers to ensure that you can get those foods is going to be really key moving forward here. Three, build a business that you can run from your home. Okay. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Doing this is going to help you ensure that you can provide financially for your family, whether or not people decide that they, you know, if you're a vaccinated person, or sorry, an unvaccinated person, if they say you can no longer work here unless you're vaccinated, it's a very real thing. It's a very real threat. If people say that, you're not dependent on that income. Right. And for the person maybe that is vaccinated, but, you know, you've got some other kind of thing that they say, oh, we don't really like what you said online. We're going to remove your ability to earn income. Having a business, owning a business is the best way to ensure that you're going to be able to put food on the table regardless as to what they say or people say that you have to do. It's going to be important that you do this. And it's going to be important because employment is going to look different. Much of what we're seeing right now is companies completely shifting and going online. And with that trend continuing, the question is your job that you're currently doing one that can be transitioned online? If the answer is yes, then you might be in a good situation. But if the answer is no, and that's your only means of income for your family, you might be looking at a downsizing of the company that you're in, and that might include your specific job there. So I'm saying build a business online that you can run from your household, or maybe it's a neighborhood business and you just go around your neighborhood and you clean houses, or you go around your neighborhood and maybe you wash cars, or you go around in your neighborhood and maybe you clean windows, whatever the thing is. You need to be thinking how to make an independent income that is not contingent on your company continuing operations as is, because it likely won't. It likely won't. So consider that. We'll talk more about that later. Again, one of the things that I want to say about this episode is I'm going over these things high level. I'm going to go deep dive on each one of these things in a different episode. So we'll do a deep dive on the importance of meat in the family diet. We'll do a deep dive of constructing a culture of prayer. We'll do a deep dive on build a business you can run online. And then the fourth thing that we're going to talk about, and this will be the wrap up of the episode, is building a family budget. Building a family budget. One of my buddies, and I love him to death, Ben, thank you. Shout out to you. You're great. You're a solid guy. One of the things that Ben told me, he said, Jonathan, it begins and ends with a budget. Because if we're not, here's the thing, if we're not managing what comes in, if we're not managing what comes in and what goes out, what are we doing? Are we being good stewards? Are we being good stewards with the treasure that God's given us? And the answer is no. We're not being good stewards if we're not controlling what's coming in and what's going out, and we're monitoring investments, and we're curious about those things. It's important. He said, and honestly, if I've got friends that aren't willing to have the budget conversation, me and him aren't that close of friends. I said, Ben, whoa, take it easy, man. It's all good. You know what I mean? Like, if God doesn't want to do a budget, that guy don't want to do a budget. But his point in saying that is to say, we as husbands have to be good stewards over what we've been given to provide for our household. And we have to take the time to be diligent about where that money's going, right? And so I made a post this week about Bitcoin. And I had people say, oh, no, Bitcoin's the devil. It's this and that. However you feel about Bitcoin, however you feel about crypto, any of that stuff, In my opinion, I believe that it is a wise investment. And the reason why I think it is a wise investment is because so much of our trade is done online. When's the last time you really got a JCPenney's catalog and walked into JCPenney? Some of you guys don't even know what JCPenney's is. It used to be a store where you'd get a catalog for it and you'd go in there and you'd buy stuff off the catalog. It's not the way the world works anymore. Most of our trade is done on Amazon. Most people are buying things off Amazon. Most people are buying their groceries on a website. Our trade is digital. And so the likely evolution of that is going to be digital currencies. And so the only reason that I say think about investing in Bitcoin, I'm not telling you to sell your house and put all your money into it. I'm not telling you to put all your life savings in it so you can roll the dice and get rich. I'm simply saying, give what Ecclesiastes said, give a portion to seven, then eight, right? Put a little money in something and then put a little money in something else, because you never know what's going to take. You never know what's going to increase. And so put money in there that you can lose. Put $100 into Bitcoin and see what you can do. Coinbase is a great way to start, and it's a good way to kind of learn the market of cryptocurrency. So that's what I would recommend, but in regards to cryptocurrency. But beyond that and onto the family budget, it's as simple as here's a list of our bills. Here's a list of our income. Are we negative at the end of the month or are we positive at the end of the month? If we're positive, that's great. We can roll that leftover money into a savings account or into investments. If we're negative, we need to try to cut some fat somewhere, because we're spending more money than what we have. It's very simple. Very simple template. And my buddy Ben actually came up with a great template. And so if you guys are interested in that, shoot me a DM and I'll get that sent to you, because it's really straightforward. It's really easy to use. And I've loved it. I've not been the best at it. But budget is one of those things that you really have to make it a habit in order to make it produce what you need it to. But it's a great, great tool. And I'm happy to share it with anybody that's interested to get back in line, to get it in order, man. Because if you're eating your money, and that's what I've been doing, man. I'm earning more money, but because of that, in my mindset, I'm like, oh, like I can go a couple extra days to Chipotle, or oh, like I can, you know, not cook today, or oh, I can, you know, I can spend a little money on the shoes or whatever the thing is, whatever it is. Tracking it is important. Tracking it is being a good steward, right? You guys remember the parable of the talents. You had the guy that got 10, he multiplied his to 20. You got the guy that got 5, he multiplied his to 10. And then you got the guy that had 1. And he was pissed that he had 1, and so he buried it. He buried it, and he didn't even let it earn interest. He didn't multiply what he had been given. And so God took it from him. He wasn't a good steward of his talents. And talents in that parable was in respect to money, but you can use that for anything that God's given you in your life. You have to manage it appropriately, and creating a budget is the first step to that. And so, guys, I share all these things with you. All of these things with you. Because, again, the world is changing. 2021 and on are not going to be the same years that came before. There are very powerful people that are making very powerful decisions right now. Right now. That will make life more challenging for us. Period. And what I wanted this to be, this episode to be, was to get you to understand that you, because of the task that God has given you as the leader of your household, you are in the driver's seat fundamentally. You say, Jonathan, nah, man, the president's in the driver's seat. I can't do anything unless he tell me I can do it. Listen, don't talk foolish, bro. Joe Biden is not the reason that you're unprepared for the changing times. Neither is Donald Trump. Okay? When times are challenging, you have to adapt. You have to change your method of operation for the sake of your family. Because here's the thing. You're not going to get to heaven and God holds you accountable. He says, well, I see that you went through a hard time and you guys kind of lost faith here. You guys weren't providing for your household here. What happened? You gonna blame it on Trump? You gonna blame it on Joe Biden? You gonna blame it on the economy? God's not trying to hear that. Your kids aren't trying to hear that today. Like while you're here day to day, your wife's not trying to hear that, man. She's not trying to hear about the economy. She's not trying to hear about how hard it is for you to find work. She's not trying to hear about how difficult it is, how difficult your life is now. She wants to know, is he going to come through for me or not? God's question to you, did you come through and trust me or not? And my goal for today is to moving forward is to help you, help us adapt and still serve our role as protector and provider, laying our lives down for our wives, that God will be glorified in everything that we do, that the faith would not be denied. Because here's the thing. Christ's love for us, he's not making any excuses. Oh, they just won't listen to me. Oh, the devil's coming to get me. Oh, he's not complaining. What does Christ do? He gets the job done. And so should we. So if you found this information helpful, if you enjoyed the episode at all, I encourage you, please leave me a rating and review on Apple iTunes. That helps us get more visibility on those platforms. And give me a follow on Instagram, @beinghusbandpod on Instagram. And if the Spirit so moved you, if you said, you know what, this Jonathan guy, he just gets it, man. He loves the Lord and he loves me too. I'm going to donate to what he's got going on. Consider becoming a Patreon patron today. Patreon.com/beinghusbandpodcast. That's patreon.com/beinghusbandpodcast. And as always, I want to thank Octave Studios for recording our intro and outro and making it sound so crispy. And it's with that, gentlemen, I say like I always do, take care and build on.